Hey there, I'm Beverly Sartain, and this is the Holistic Coach Legacy Podcast, where you get support in being an impactful and confident coach. In today's episode, we are chatting with my good friend, Beth Perasmo. Beth and I have known each other for a long time, which we share a bit on the episode. I'm super excited to be able to be with her, share her brilliance, and her incredible work with you. Beth has an incredible ability to connect with her body. And so this was a really fascinating conversation because the body has generally been a more challenging level. The physical level has been more of a challenging level for me personally. We are going to be talking about doshas in this episode. If you don't know what your dosha is and you would like to know that before you listen to the episode, check out the show notes. There will be an opportunity for you to figure out what your dosha is, or just listen in. And if you feel called to figure out what your dosha is, know that you can do that via the show notes. Thanks so much for being here. Enjoy. Welcome, Beth. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Thanks, Bev. Same. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Are you okay with me telling the listeners how we know each other?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I love her story. I do too. I love story too. We do have a very special story. I mean, it's very special to me, so I'm happy to hear you love it too. You really are one of the few people that knew me before I got sober, and are so close to me in my life. Like, we've stayed connected over the years and obviously are very connected through coaching and the work that we're doing now into the world. That feels super, super special to have somebody in my community that knew me before and knew me through a lot of my hardships and now gets to see me in this place and vice versa. You know, it's been beautiful to watch you grow and really own your own abilities and own your own identity and the way that you want life to look. I'm very thankful for our relationship, Beth. Thank you.
Me too. Thank you immensely. And just so you know, you've always been just an incredible seeker of truth, a soulful, very soulful being. And just each of our processes, you know, through our traumas is what our gifts are to give to the world. So you've always been a bright light, even, you know, prior to your sobriety. So I just honor your journey and thank you for sharing it with me.
So much love for you. Yes. Thank you for saying all that. So the listeners always like to know a bit about your backstory. So, you know, the topic today is we're going to be talking about coaching and yoga. Well, it really is reverse for you. Yoga and then coaching is the way your path unfolded. And so I'd love just to hear a little bit more of how you got into yoga and then how coaching came on board for you.
Yeah. So I was always in my body. I was an athlete. I've done every sport, fitness. I was a personal trainer. You name it. If you use your body to do it, I always did it. And surprisingly, I didn't take yoga until freshman year of college. I took a power vinyasa flow class at the gym at my at just a local gym at my university. And because I was always in there, you know, lifting like 3 hours a day, running marathons and things. And I took a class, and it was this like short, very muscular man who led a power vinyasa flow, and it was like so strong. I was just blown away that I could actually get a great workout out of this practice. And flash forward to, you know, 20 years later, where I've been practicing for, you know, that much time. It wasn't really until I had started doing it much more regularly or consistently, like 3 times a week, I had a practice with the same teacher. I was living in New York City, and I started to feel like really powerful emotional shifts, and it actually initiated a lot of the deep digging that I had done, which eventually led to my divorce. And I remember asking my yoga teacher, like, can I do too much yoga? Am I doing this too much? Like, after class, I'd just be in a ball crying. And she was like, no, this is what you need to be doing. You're doing it for a purpose, and this is what it's bringing out in you. And it's okay. You know, this is a safe space, and there's nothing that you can do that's too much for yourself. And so at that point, I began actually looking into what the real meaning of yoga is, what the real purpose of it is, with meditation. And I started going to a regular meditation class, and then I did a training in Ashtanga, which involved a bit of the more mindfulness aspects of Ashtanga is a very strong practice for those who aren't familiar. It's the same postures in a specific sequence, and you can't progress until you, quote unquote, can't progress until you have completed the initial one. And this teacher who taught the training had a completely like alternate view of the practice. She was like, this is, you know, if you do this thing over and over again every day, all, you know, your whole life, you might injure yourself. So let's really look at this practice as something that's much more holistic, and so that you can guide people into a safer way to practice, you know, make them consciously aware of specific ways they're moving their body that aren't good to do repetitively over time. And how do we kind of flow and work around those very strict and strong and maybe pushing too hard types of practices to allow for a bit for more ease, so that we can actually open what yoga is meant to, which is the mind. And from there, I eventually made my way to take a 200-hour teacher training. And that's where I actually learned the power of meditation, how to meditate to transform your life. And that literally changed my whole life. Ironically, simultaneously, I had met my first coach around the same time that I embarked on this journey to diving deeper into the yoga practice. And my first coach was just bringing up so many different healing modalities within me that I wasn't even aware of. So it was this beautiful counterpart to being able to actually process the emotions that were coming up through the physical practice. And then, you know, speaking to what would you like to be doing? You know, it's such a forward thinking practice. It's like, well, what do you want? What are the emotions that you want to have? And if, say, you could go back, we did some like past life regression and some future life, past life regression, some future life progression. And it just astounded me that I actually wanted more softness. I actually wanted more healing when I was always very, you know, living in the West and being, you know, working in corporate America and always trying to achieve and strive. And at the time I was very high Pitta dosha in the Ayurvedic dosha. So I always wanted to like win everything. I was so competitive. And I thought that I would want to like, you know, break things and like get all my anger and rage out, when really what I discovered through that coaching container was that I really just wanted to like hug myself and like, you know, and heal my bleeding heart. And that was also a life changer for me. So subsequently, I don't know if I was already in your healing circle at the time, but I've been in that for quite some time. And so, like, you know, I believe that you always get that which you seek. You gave me the book, The Seeker's Guide. I don't know if you remember that book.
I do.
Yeah. And I use like that as a reference all the time. Like what you're seeking is seeking you. And so because I was doing all of this body work and energy work and releasing a lot of my trauma, then the coaching just appeared. You know, my friends turned into my coaches. I got into a relationship with a man who was also a coach, so he became like my second coach. And then to the point where I actually thought, like, because of the work that I was doing through yoga, and this is how I, you know, how I earned my living in the world, I was like, oh, I want my clients to be coaches. I love coaches. I want to work with coaches. I want to teach coaches yoga. And then ultimately that evolved into, wait a minute. I really love this work, and I love this work so much that I also want to share it. And I'm actually, you know, not professionally, but I was actually coaching people through yoga, using it to evoke powerful questions, because yoga actually is a practice of the mind, contrary to popular belief that it's an exercise or a practice of the physical body. You know, it's about working with the inner workings of your mind and learning how you regulate your own emotions and thoughts and feelings when you're under stress. You know, we put the body under stress in yoga so that we can ask ourselves powerful questions like, okay, what am I going to do now? I'm breathing like I'm hyperventilating, but I have the choice how I move my body next. So maybe I should just stand here for a minute and catch my breath. Or maybe I shouldn't go into that extremely difficult arm balance that I don't really know how to get into yet. Maybe I should step back one step and then take it at my own pace. So really, they just kind of melded together. And then you became a coach trainer. And when your training came up, I was like, wow, that couldn't be more perfect. I think I'll just do that. So, I don't know if I had told you, but I'd done a New Year's intention ritual last year, and you burn off the intentions that you have for 12 of them. You've set 13 intentions, and the last one that's not burnt is the one that you have to make an effort to do, and the other ones the universe handles. So that's the one that came up doing my coaching certification. So then I was like, yeah, this is it. I'm doing it. I'm becoming a coach too.
Yeah, they're very good at it. So it's so great to hear this journey that you've been on, and you've always been so connected to your body. And I'm so fascinated by that, because the body has always been more of a challenge to me from my traumas. Yeah. And so I'm just curious, like, how come the body connection is such an important level to you, or how come you feel like it's been an easier level for you to access? What are your thoughts there?
Part of it is our Ayurvedic doshas, right? I'm a high kapha dosha, which is the element of earth and water. So I'm very grounded. So I feel, you know, physically a lot more than, say, you just happen to be higher vata energy, which is air ether. So for vata dominant dosha seekers, your energy is often in your mind space, right? It's in the upper chakras, Sahasrara, the crown, Ajna, the intuitive chakra, your intuition. And so you're often in the head space, right? You're big thinkers. So for anyone who feels like you're often thinking, stuck in thought, it makes total sense that the body connection can be more of a challenge, because your elements are these very flowing, adaptable, but like kind of ever-present and ever-moving and shifting elements of air and ether. It's everywhere, right? So it encompasses everything. And for me, being a kapha, I also believe that I receive divine messages through my body. I wasn't always aware of this, but it it is available for everyone. And I became aware of it through this, the practices of yoga. Everyone who experiences any type of pain in their physical body is being told by source, this part of your body is your greatest gift. This is the area that when you resolve it, you will know how to help others honor their own insight into their own trauma and their own process. And we can connect with that. We all have the ability. Our pain points and our connection to our bodies are a superpower that we all do have. And if we listen to it, we can learn exactly what we're here to do. For me, it manifested as a herniated disc, L5-S1, when I was only 20. So it was ironically or coincidentally, even though I don't really believe in coincidences, I should say magically, it was the same time that I started taking yoga. So I did suffer through many years of debilitating pain. But what that showed me, you know, it's like hitting you where you feel it the hardest. Because I'm such an embodied being, source had to talk to me through my body, because that's where I would hear it the most, right? So it was actually a wonderful opening into the work that I do, because having to heal my own spine, all of my back pain through so many years, brought me to the realizations of the mental and emotional traumas that I wasn't really looking at, right? I wasn't really seeing. And it forced me to look at, okay, I'm actually contributing to this, right? I'm empowering my own demise. And all I need to do is actually love myself in the ways that my body is telling me to, and not seeking outside of myself. Not abusing my body by just listening to what other people tell me and seeking advice outside of what I know to be true, because I can feel it, right? I can literally feel it. So I came to the realization that I was abusing my body. I was abusing my mind and my heart, and I was neglecting my spirit. And it was learned behavior. It was conditioning from my verbal abuse trauma. But now that I can understand that was the message that it was trying to tell me, now I am able to teach people how to connect with their own spirit and their own messages by releasing actually the connection, this like attachment we have to the physical body, and stepping into these alternate energies. So for Vata dominant dosha, connecting more to that the physical body is something that will help them to realize their own powers. And for me, it was also learning how to detach from my body and step into those higher chakras that was actually the saving grace for me. We can all learn from each other from our doshas, because we all need the other elements that we're less dominant in. That's always the pathway to heal. It's almost like the other ones that are lower are injured, and we have to work towards healing them to get everyone back to our own level of balance. It's not that we're trying to like flip the scales and switch our elements, but just nurturing those aspects of them a bit more. And it that really is how I connect to the body and the mind. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing a bit about the doshas, and we'll throw some info in the show notes about that. When we had talked about doing an episode, something that came up for me that I really wanted us to share with the listeners is how they could use some yoga while preparing for a coaching session or doing a post ritual or practice of some sorts. So I was curious what that might look like.
Yeah. There is a lot that goes into what we could do because we all have different dominant doshas. We can do specific clearing and opening practices from pranayama and also yoga asana. I, of course, highly recommend always every being that exists to have a meditation practice, whether it is, you know, a couple of minutes or 2 hours a day. But essentially, yoga is energy and it's practicing moving energy. So actual asana, physical postures and practices are there so that we can shift energy. They are called pranavayus. They're energy directions that energy leaves the body or that we draw in to work with. So it kind of is totally beautiful in terms of you can create a completely customized ritual practice for yourself based on the dosha that is dominant in you and knowing you can figure out how and what works best for you to clear out, because a big part of coaching, right, is just clearing out what your ideas are, your wishes for your client, your agenda, so to speak, so that you can hold a space for them to just be completely expressed themselves, to be fully seen and heard, and not have, you know, have an impartial witness, an impartial compassionate witness to their process. So we can use asana to shift whatever we are experiencing as the coach so that we can kind of clear the slate to prepare ourselves to be there fully, more fully on board to get on their page. I love how you say that in your training, to that we're not trying to like figure out their process means to us. We're trying to get on their page. So a big part of that is shifting what we are experiencing in our lives, because we're also human, right? We have our own experiences, our own clients, our own relationships, our own everything. And so some really great ones. If you know which dosha you are, you can practice. I'll do Vata first. So before a session for a Vata person, since your elements are air and ether, you can be a bit prone to anxiety or overthinking. In order to get your energy down into to be more grounded, which is a great practice, you know, prior to embarking on anything that you deem very valuable, like your sessions, a wide-legged squat is a really easy posture to just sit in for a few minutes. There's also a breath work called Bastrika, which I have on my, I have all of these on my Instagram page if anyone wants to look there as a reference. It's Breathe with Beth. Bastrika is also known as bellows breath. You just place your hands on your low belly, so your thumbs would be at your belly button and your fingers down by your pubic bone, and you breathe fully into your belly, trying to make your belly press into your hands on your inhale. And then on your exhale, you draw it back towards your spine so that there's space between your palms and your belly. And you repeat that in and out. Every breath is 1 second, 33 times. You can also do that while you're sitting in a wide-legged squat, just to combine. I like to take this from when I was a personal trainer. It's like super setting, you know, you do like multitasking, you do two things at once. So really you could just take 33 seconds effectively, and it would only take you like a minute to do 33 in and out breaths to sit down in a squat. And that will bring you more into a state of grounding into the lower chakras. So you're not as much in like the throat wanting to speak so much. to the client and not being in your own intuitive power. Not that you want to lose your intuitive power in a session, but to kind of disconnect from your own connection to yourself and open it up to be more focused on what's coming in through them. For the Pitta dosha people, Pitta dosha's elements are fire and water. So they have a lot of energy because they're what dissolves and breaks down everything in the body. This is what digests our food. This is what gets us, you know, running at the gunshot in a race. So there tends to be a bit of energy of wanting really badly to help this person in a Pitta coach. And so not that there's anything wrong with any of these feelings, right? We just want to calm them and clear them so that we can be more receptive and not want to, like, you know, jump in and finish their sentences when really we need to be listening, right? So for Pitta doshas, I would lie down on your back. And you want to have either a pillow, a big pillow, or if you have yoga blocks, put it at the back of your heart. So for women, like underneath of your bra strap, and for men, just between the bottom of the shoulder blades. Then you can put another block if you're using blocks, put one under your head at any level that feels comfortable. Or if you're lying on a pillow, you would just have it underneath of your upper back, kind of under your armpits. And you could have another pillow kind of underneath of your head just for some support. You just open your arms out to the sides. And this is a really beautiful heart opener just to get you out of the solar plexus space. So Manipura is the chakra that Pitta normally resides in. And so we're just lifting it up one, bringing it up into the heart where we can kind of distill that need to achieve and win into a more loving space. And for breath work, Pitta can also use Shitali breath, which is a curling of the tongue and just breathing in and out through it. So it kind of cools that fiery element of them. It also makes the breath effectively move a bit slower because it has to move through a smaller space. And if curling your tongue ever feels like you get a cramp in your tongue or it's too much, you can just make like an O shape with your lips and just let your tongue kind of relax in there. And then for kapha people, it's good to do a really energizing breath work because kapha can tend to be really dense because we're earth and water. And we might be kind of stuck or hung up on our own stuff going on. So it can be nice to kind of engage with that fire of Pitta energy and do an energizing breath work like Kapalabhati. So Kapalabhati has a lot of arm gestures that you can do in tandem with them, but essentially it's drawing back your low abdomen right underneath of your belly button on your exhale and using it like a pump. So you're actually breathing like through the nose, one breath every second, but you're not inhaling. Your body will naturally inhale. You're simply exhaling and focusing on the exhale so that you're drawing that those grounding energies or that fire from the mid-belly up into the heart, up into the throat, because kapha can tend to be a little bit down in energy. It's not a bad thing. Again, it's just a tendency that we may have. And in terms of a posture for kapha, it would be really nice for them to do a few sun salutations even. So do like a standing posture, forward fold, coming back to a high plank or downward dog, doing a chaturanga and then jumping back up. So getting more energized is really beneficial for kapha energies. And then for closing out your practice, I always recommend journaling, actually. Not that that's yoga. But just, you know, reflecting and writing out what has come up. And then, but also allowing for the things that might have been displeasing to you or things that you might have felt were, you know, you might be disappointed in yourself or, you know, have a regret about something, and to just acknowledge, right, I'm okay, I'm doing my best, I'm good at this, I'm meant to be here. And another great posture combined with a breath work is actually a kundalini chop. So you would take your arms, you can do this seated in a chair, you can do it standing. You would take all of the ideas that you have that are self-deprecating and envision them. That's why the journaling kind of helps. You can envision them in your mind if you're a visual learner, but you'd bring your palms together at the top of your head. So this is like your big axe, and then you chop with your hands. So like the pinky finger edge of your hands come down towards your left side, and then you twist to your right and do the same thing. So you're essentially lifting your arms up and then chopping down to either side, left and right. And every time you lift your arms up, you inhale. And every time you lift your arms down, you exhale. So you're essentially like cutting all the cords of the attachment to what just happened so that you can release and let go. And then I would say to, you know, after you've done maybe 33 again, I just love the synergy of that number. You can just sit with your hands in your lap and just kind of allow for the thoughts that come in to process, see what you might need to do for yourself to be a bit more loving. And yeah, just kind of let those things go. See if it feels like they did detach from you.
Thank you for that. So wonderful. Sure. Just that description. And so how are you working with people in terms of the doshas and your offerings? I'm curious about that.
Yeah, I do a lot of customized works. I have a program called a Custom Self-Love Ritual, where I work with people on first assessing their dosha or their dominant dosha and the levels of each of them. And then from there, I create a custom ritual for them based on the information that I share about what our tendencies are based on what dosha we are, which asanas would be most beneficial to bring you into balance, also which pranayama to do more of. And also there are some kind of counterintuitive asanas and breath works that aren't all that beneficial for certain dominant doshas. So I work with you on all of the elements, the background of what this dosha means to you. And then the co-creation part is that we work with whatever does resonate. So what we find a lot is that people will be dominant in one dosha. Say it's a scale of 30 points. So say someone is 15 vata and then still pretty high in pitta. So then we work with, okay, what aspects of this practice really resonate with you, or what elements of yourself do you feel that you really want to work on? What do you want to focus on? And then we build that into a customized sequence for you to do of yoga asana, the best pranayama that you can do to bring yourself into a state of balance, and also customized meditation for you. I teach a breath-focused meditation. It's similar for everyone. It's using what is called a dharana, or a focus point for your meditation. You can use many different things, but I focus on the breath because you always have it with you. It's accessible to everyone. And yeah, the program we span it out over the course of 5 sessions. The first one is 2 hours, and each subsequent session is an hour and a half. So we give ample time so that you can learn the different elements of your doshas, and then also learn your sequence in pieces so it's digestible. You can do a little bit at a time, each time building on what you've already learned. You get the recordings of those sessions so that you can practice them in between our sessions and make any adjustments to it. Say something doesn't really work for you, although that's never really happened. People will say, like, I love this part, and I really found out that I started to get really good at syncopating my breath rhythm with my movement, and so it just gets really lovely. And since I am a coach, we can work through a lot of emotion and create a stronger connection to our own spirit through this beautiful practice. It's really beneficial for a lot of people who want a deeper connection to themselves and to have something that they can commit themselves to. You know, in coaching, we work a lot with accountability. So over the course of just developing this simple ritual for yourself and learning how easy it is and how much you actually are already tending towards the things that benefit you the most, it's actually really reassuring and really soothing for you to learn these things. Yeah.
This is fantastic.
We also touch a bit.
Thanks. I could see people that are maybe even dealing with burnout or starting to go towards that. Like, I did the most yoga that I've ever done while I was working at one of the nonprofits doing the mental health and substance abuse work when I was a substance abuse counselor. I was doing yoga 5 times a week. It was
wonderful.
It was my practice. And so I'm just even thinking about, you know, healthcare workers and people in nonprofits, not just coaches, you know, that's what our conversation is here today. But I could see like helping people formulate this type of practice to really help them support their mind, body, and spirit. I just think it's so incredible, the work that you're doing. Yeah.
Thank you. It is really, it's really helpful. Yeah, thanks. A lot of the majority of my clients are also healers. You know, they're working in healing professions and, you know, nurses, OTs, therapists. Yeah. Great. Yeah, it's really nice.
So how would our listeners connect with you?
Facebook is the best way because I'm Love It Yoga Coaching on Facebook. And I also have a private Facebook group that's a subscription through Facebook. It's called Restore and Love Yourself with Beth. In that group, there are hundreds of restorative yoga classes and yoga nidra classes and also self-love tools. So this is a place where people just have a storehouse for any content that they're needing, you know, no matter where they are or what time of day it is. And all of my coaching clients, when you're in a container with me or in the custom self-love ritual, you get access to that group so that if you're in need of a different type of practice than what we do in your custom self-love practice, that you can try on different things and move into more of the meditation practice if we're working more with the asana, things like that. I also have a free group on Facebook called the Self-Love Sanctuary, and you can always schedule a complimentary call with me to see what we can discover together. I'm happy to share as much as I can with people about their doshas and these beautiful practices to help them work through their emotions and get a greater connection to spirit. And I can just send the link in the show notes if that works best. I'm also on Instagram. I mentioned that before. If you just want short videos on the different breath works, it's a great reference place to find how-tos at Breathe with Beth. And then I'm also on YouTube at Breathe with Beth Yoga and Meditation. So loads of ways.
Lots of ways. That's wonderful. And in closing, what's the legacy that you are hoping to share with your work?
just the simplicity and the accessibility that we all have to heal ourselves. Everything that we suffer from or any pain that we're experiencing is possible to resolve and thrive in just by loving yourself. It's where it all stems from and where we all return to. So I hope I can impart that message on everyone that I meet and work with. Yeah.
Well, so much love for you, my soul sister. Anything else that needs to be said or shared? Yes.
Oh, just thank you so much. Everything that you do, our long-standing connection is, I cherish it. It's so meaningful to me. The work that you continue to do in the world through you have so much integrity, every engagement, every one of these podcasts, the healing circle, the coaching training. It's just, you're an idol to me. You're so full of love, and you're actually, helping to do the work of healing the entire universe. So I'm just always grateful for our connection and this work that we get to do together.
Yes. Thank you for saying all that. Mm-hmm. I am sitting here consciously opening my heart and receiving it all. Thank you. And I can't wait to see what we continue to create together. And
me too.
I'm just encouraging the listeners to reach out to you, figure out what their dosha is, get some more information about the different doshas, and then formulate a practice from there. It makes so much sense to be that intentional with the practice so that the mind, body, and spirit is really on board. So thanks for your sharing today. Much appreciated.
Absolutely. Happy to help. Thank you,
Wonderful.
Bev.
Thank you. If there's only one thing to take away from today's episode, it's that you can actually figure out what your dosha is and create a pre-ritual and a post-ritual to your coaching in terms of your dosha. Another great takeaway would just be to do some postures before you go into a coaching session for your mind, body, and spirit, and also to do some postures after a coaching session to support yourself, mind, body, and spirit. I hope that this gave you some good ideas today of how to better support your body, your mind, and your spirit. And just always remembering that you can be purposeful in process when you share a loving legacy. My hope is that you hear people sharing their legacy with you and that it inspires you to do the same. Thank you so much for being with us. Many blessings to you now and always.